stay locked in and fully loaded.
Ashanti Radio
and Verkay Radio.
They said we couldn't do it,
but we global now, worldwide. Boom, in your face. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
The Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine releases issues bi-monthly committed to bringing you the very best content from experts around the globe.
With excellence as our standard, we know that you'll soon agree with our goal to become the number one online lifestyle magazine in the world within 24 months.
Our team has committed ourselves to making Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine a household name around the globe.
GLM is a tool created to add value to the lives of men and women globally.
And to reinforce the Jaguare lifestyle in which our brand represents,
ranging from family and relationships, faith and spirituality, success and personal development, business and finance, health, sports, entertainment and fashion, food and travel, education and technology.
To connect with either Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine or Jaguare Inc., visit their websites, JaguareLifestyle.com. That's GIGARELifestyle.com.
Welcome back to Productivity 360, folks. I'm your man, Dr. Vernet A. Joseph. And today on Follow Through Friday, right here on Bashani, iHeart, iTunes, Stitcher, you name it, we're on it. So all you need is a mobile streaming device and you can catch us worldwide right here every Friday, folks. I have the honor and pleasure to have with me today a good friend by the name of Dr. Terry Warren. Listen, folks, you need to get your pens and your pads ready because we are about to go on a fantastic voyage. We're going to be talking about a topic that I believe is near and dear to not just my heart, but to everyone's heart. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, I don't care if you're a speaker or a librarian, you need to know about this topic. Many people have many myths and misconceptions when it comes to what PR is. So what I want to talk about today is the importance of PR and then the difference between PR and marketing. But before we do so, I want to introduce to you my good friend, Dr. Terry Warren. How are you doing today, sir?
I am good, Dr. Joseph. I am excellent. And if I was any better, I'd be you.
Well, definitely. Pleasure having you today. Listen, if you would, I'd love to start our shows off by giving those who would be on an opportunity to tell the listening audience a little bit about themselves. One, I know you are, I mean, dynamic. They don't know who you are. So let's talk as if you were talking to a new client for the very first time.
Well, I've been very blessed and very fortunate to be at the right place at the right time. You know, that always has something to do with it. And my career has been a little over 40 years in the area of public relations. And I represented a lot of very, very incredible clients. I was with the Jacksons for several years. And the last 10 years of that I was with them, I was more specifically with LaToya Jackson. Mm-hmm. And helped to create who she was at the height of her career. I was involved with Ken Norton, the only boxer ever to break Muhammad Ali's jaw. Mm. And very few people know that. And actually, he took the title away from Muhammad Ali. And then, so he was quite, and really just a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. I helped and was appointed by the Reagans and helped create the Just Say No to Drugs campaign.
Wow.
And, you know, again, with those kind of projects, it's never by yourself.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I was part of other people, but my principal purpose was the PR, the media.
Right. Absolutely. Well, listen, I mean, that within itself is a story by itself, but those are just a few of the people that you've worked with. Let's talk about this topic and how PR literally has changed your life. How did you get into PR? What sparked it? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, believe it or not, I never went to school to learn PR.
Hmm.
I was a promoter on the West Coast and promoting concerts and special events.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do unique events that were different than what typical people would do. I do like Civil War reenactments, pirate festivals,
mm-hmm.
these creative, unique festivals that were different. And I end up meeting Jack Gordon, who ended up marrying LaToya Jackson. But what, and Jack was a big promoter in his own right, and he had put LaToya on a TV program called Music Vision, back with when it was American Bandstand and a couple of other of those type of shows that, you know, people would watch, Soul Train, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the show, you know, never really became a big hit because those other ones, Soul Train, American Bandstand, kind of captured the market.
Right.
But Joe Jackson, who was the father, and at the time when the Jackson 5 were together, was kind of impressed with what Jack had done.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack and I had worked together on some promotions. And so one day he calls me and he says, Joe Jackson wants me to come in and be involved with you know, the whole family, helping to promote, helping me, you know, negotiate contracts, all kinds of stuff. And he said, I can't do this by myself. I need you to come alongside of me.
Nice.
And what had happened was I got thrown into being the liaison between the media and her.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, the situation with the White House, again, I was with the Jacksons. The phone call came in. At the time, it was Jackson Entertainment Group.
Mm-hmm.
The phone call came in, and we were in Hollywood in the Motown building. And it was the phone call came in, and they said, this is Mr. Quartermash. I'm Nancy Reagan's chief of staff. We would like Michael to be the spokesperson for Just Say No.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I don't know if that's possible, but let me find out. And I kind of was the, you know, and they said, no, Michael's on tour. He's this. Couldn't put the time into it. And they said, well, what about Janet? Well, Janet was in the middle of doing a new album. And they said, well, who else is there? And I said, well, there's you know, Rebe and LaToya and you know, Jermaine and all of them. And they said, well, what about LaToya? And so that was a no-brainer because at that point, she wasn't in the middle of an album, and she wasn't in the middle of touring. And so what happened was I became the liaison between the White House and LaToya Jackson.
Wow.
And they liked the way that I did things in such a way that then they appointed me to you know, step into that. So really, I just kind of, and I had a natural ability to call TV stations and set up the interviews for LaToya.
Mm-hmm.
I would call them and say, look, you know, LaToya's got this coming out or that coming out. And she was constantly on TV. So from there, I just, you know, continued to, you know, flourish in that area.
Wow. I hope that you all are picking up what Dr. Warren is putting down, guys, because what I want to pull out of what he just said is something very, very pivotal. You can't do this thing alone. No man is an island. I've been saying that for years, and I hope that you guys are getting it. Partnerships, collaborations, and relationships are so, so important. I hope that you understood that there was someone else that was connected that then said, wait a minute, Dr. Warren, I need your help on something. I see you've got this expertise. Can you help me? That's called a partnership, folks. If you don't get it, I hope you're getting it right now. Ding, ding, the bell has just rung. Now, you start off with this relationship, and because you have now a partnership, you start saying, well, wait a minute. A lot of times, Dr. Warren, people really think that things just fall out of the sky. But what they fail to understand is circumstances and relationships kind of go hand in hand. So when something occurs, you've got to be real and you've got to be ready. And that's exactly what happened when the White House came calling.
Absolutely.
You were in position, and it was about who was ready. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I hope you guys are getting this. Listen to me very clearly. There's a difference between marketing and PR. We're going to get to that. But let's talk about how PR literally changed your life. You talked a little bit about how you got into it. But how did it change your life? When did you know that this was going to be the thing that you would be doing for 40 years?
Well, I think when I realized that I was able to get people recognition, mm-hmm. And really it comes down to this. The whole world works on this. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so it wasn't that I was the greatest publicist in the world. There were big firms out there in New York. There was Howard Rubenstein, and there was a lot of major firms that were out there. But what happened was because of who I was representing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when I called, for example, Good Morning America, or I called Inside Edition, or I called Hard Copy, or Current Affair, or Geraldo, and I said, I'm calling on behalf of the Jacksons.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, the executive producer took my call.
That's right.
And they didn't put me on hold. They didn't send me to an assistant somewhere.
Right.
And then when we were doing the Just Say No, when I would call and say, hey, I'm calling on behalf of the White House, they would say, hold on. Matter of fact, when I helped create what was called the Just Say No Festivals, and where we had... In L.A., for example, we did a big one at Balboa Park. We had members of the Dodgers come out. At that time, before the Rams left and came back, the Rams were there, the Lakers were there. And so we had professional players come out, and they wanted to be involved. And what happened was I went in to talk to a mayor, and he was in a meeting.
Mm.
And I said, you know, I'm here. I want to talk to you about what we're doing for Just Say No to Drugs. And the woman said, well, he's in a meeting. He really can't see you. And I said, okay, well, here's my card. And it was amazing because I was walking to the car and the mayor chased me in the parking lot. Not because I was anybody,
mm-hmm.
but because of who I was representing.
Absolutely.
And so what happens is now you develop a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at that time, Marty Berman was Geraldo Herrera's executive producer. Charles Laughlin.
One second.
You know, Charles Laughlin was the executive producer for Inside Edition. I believe he still is with CBS. And what happened was, once you start to develop a relationship with them, now when you call for other clients that
mm-hmm.
you get,
mm-hmm.
they take your call.
Yes, sir.
Because they know you.
Yes,
and
sir.
The other thing, and I need to share this because people have the misconception that, you know, all it takes is sending out a press release
mm-hmm.
and everything is going to be fine. Well, first of all, the press release is the basis for it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, having a good press release to send out about what you're doing is very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
However, it needs to be crafted in such a way that there's what you call a hook in it.
Absolutely.
In other words, there needs to be a reason for the media to want to cover it. And so what you become good at is creating that hook.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what happens is, and I know companies that have paid PR firms thousands of dollars and not got anywhere because they simply pay it, they write a press release, they send it out, and basically it's like, we'll throw what we can against the wall and we hope so much sticks.
Something sticks, right?
And that's not the way it works. The way that it has to work is that it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
When you send that release out, now you've got to go and call and follow up.
Legwork.
Did you get the release? What did you think of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you call somebody, a producer of a TV show or the you know, the assignment editor for a news program or whatever the case may be, when you say, oh, by the way, did you get the release? Hold on. And then they you ask them to grab it.
Grab it.
And then you go through it. And then you have to, in all situations, sell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it doesn't matter what you have. A lot of people have what you have.
Exactly.
You have to create something that makes you different from the others that are out there.
Yes.
So you have to create a sizzle about what you have.
Mm.
And then you have to sell them on it and say, you know what? This is an amazing subject. This is an amazing person. This is an amazing product. Oh, by the way, your audience is going to love this, and here's why.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Okay, guys. So right here, I want to pull back the onion again, and let's look at this relationship piece. It's all about relationships. No one cares who you are until they know that you care first. And the question is, what are you bringing to the table that's going to help them so that they can promote you? I hope authors, speakers, writers, whoever you are, business people that are listening to this broadcast today, I hope that you're getting it. Are you providing and adding value? I don't care about your product. I don't care about your song. I don't care about any of that. The question is, how can you assist and add value first and then tell them what you're going to do it with? Is that a good assessment?
That's a good assessment.
Now, utilizing your relationships, and I know you know this, Dr. Warren, there are people who will pull on you from the east, the north, the west, and the south, and they want you to utilize your relationships for any and everything. When and how do you differentiate as a PR person what's good and what's good, watch this, for now and what may be good for later? How do you bring that out? And I know that's a it's a big topic, but I want to try to help the listening audience as they try to soak in what we're talking about today. When you're going to present something to a PR firm or anywhere, how do you know what's good and what's not?
Well, you know, you have to be something other than another me too.
Mm.
Okay? And what happens is, you know, let's take an author. They've written a book. There are thousands of authors who've written thousands of books. What distinguishes you from the rest of them? What distinguishes you and your book and what's in your book from other books that are out there similar to it?
Mm.
In other words, what is your winning selling proposition? What is it that makes you different and unique that will distinguish you amongst the others that are out there?
Hmm. Wow. Wow. Okay, guys. So that's a question of the day. We're talking PR. We're talking marketing. We're talking the importance and the differences. So what makes you different than those in your industry? What makes you stand out and not just be another piece of the puzzle? That's the question of the day, folks. I need you to write it down, and I want you to answer it for yourself. This is going to be more than just your average show. You've got homework, and the question is, are you going to pass the test? So moving on from relationships and how they have literally helped you, you know, all around the world. That's another thing I need people to understand. We're not talking to someone who's just local. We're talking to someone who has built national and international presence for his clients. Let's talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. When did you know, or did you ever consider or think that you would be and have the extensive reach and relationships that you do today?
No, I never did. But, you know, what happens is when you start meeting people and you're with the Jacksons, doors open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you start meeting people and you're with the White House, doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just fortunate to be attached to that,
mm-hmm.
and therefore the door is open, and then you develop the relationships and you maintain those relationships. But I want to go back to how you need to distinguish yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a typical story. I had a gentleman that called me one day, and he was on the board for a company that was a barter company. Now, I don't know if you know what a barter company mm-hmm. is, but it's where they have their own kind of currency, and you go in and you get a sandwich in one place, and then, you know, you can go over here and have credits, and you can get radio time over here. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get exposure for their barter company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, barter's been around for 1,000 years.
Absolutely.
So what makes them different? And so what happened was the owner of the company had me, flew me in, met with me, and I said, well, what's different about what you're doing? And he proceeded to tell me that he was doing real estate and people were be able to get houses without having to put money up. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And now the interesting thing is he had spent $50,000 on PR, had not gotten any articles, no stories, no interviews, no nothing. And when I went in and talked to him, I spent about an hour or two with him, and he was in shock because, you know, what I had just told him was what he had spent $50,000 for the guy to give him, you know, market analysis, research, you know, evaluation studies, market research study, all those things, but there really wasn't any exposure. Mm-hmm. And it's like I said, you know, you don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure out, or an expert in publicity to figure out if you, you know, if you've got an automotive product, you don't need an article in Better Homes and Gardens. You know, so part of what the key is identifying the market. So what happened was he told me how a guy in Beverly Hills had just got a couple million dollar house. And remember, this is 20 years ago, a couple million dollar house without having to spend any money. And I said, that's amazing. How did that work? He said, well, we had this guy with the house and he wanted to sell the house, but he owned a big, huge company that produced office furniture, and he was trying to move his office furniture. And then there was a radio station that just bought a new building and they needed a bunch of office furniture. And so what happened was between it, they bartered and the guy wound up at the house. Mm. So I said, now that is unique and different. Mm-hmm. So I went to the business editor of the LA Times and I said, look, I have a story. And I said, I want to take you to lunch. So he said, well, before you take me to lunch, what is it? And I said, well, you need to hear it because it's very different. So we go to lunch and he says, well, you know, what's the story? I said, it's a barter company. He said, Terry, I'm not going to do a story. That's, you know, that's been around for 1,000 years. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, I just got a guy, got a multi-million dollar house in Beverly Hills with no money. He said, what? Hmm. So I told him the story, right? And I shared how it worked. And he said, wow, that's really, really different. He said, let me do some investigative reporting here to verify everything. Mm-hmm. And he said, if I find out that what you're saying is true, I'll do something on it. Mm-hmm. So the guy did his research, calls me a week later. Now, this guy had spent $50,000 over 3 months and not got a single article.
Wow.
The guy called me a week later and says, Terry, buy the paper on Tuesday. You'll be impressed. I bought the LA Times on Tuesday. It was on the front page of the business section. Mm. The guy did almost $25 million in new business because of that article.
Wow.
Okay? Mm. So, in other words, it's a matter of creating something that's unique and different. There's nothing different about barter, but the fact that somebody was able to get a multi-million dollar house,
exactly,
that was different.
Exactly.
So we focused on the hook. What was unique and different about it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. So again, I want to take it back to the relationships and how to keep them. You said never in a million years would you think that you'd be national, international, doing what you're doing, but you've been doing it now for 40 years. On top of that, we talked about relationships at the top of the show, and then now in the middle, we talk about relationships again. The question is, not can you have a relationship, but can you keep a relationship and know when to utilize the relationship? I love the way that you explained, hey, I do have a story, but let's go to lunch. See, that's a relationship. You had to have a relationship in order to make that offering. Then the person also had to believe enough in you to say, I'll take the lunch date or time or whatever the case may be, because I'm interested to see what Dr. Warren has to say.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I, you know, LaToya obviously was very controversial.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we were on Hard Copy, Current Affair, Inside Edition on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And a Geraldo. And it was interesting because in the media business, there's a week called Sweep. Mm. And that's where you evaluate what the television station is doing, their market share, and then you can determine the advertising rates. Mm. And because we were always able to come up with something that was unique and different during sweeps weeks, I didn't have to call. The executive producers would call me and say, Terry, what's happening right now? What you got? He said, according to Geraldo, one of the greatest ratings he ever got was when LaToya was on his show.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, once you establish a reputation for giving them great stories, that's going to get coverage and mm-hmm. exposure, because that's what it's about.
Right.
You've got to give them something that they want to print, that they want to cover, or they want to do an interview about.
So let me ask this, because you just hit dead on where I wanted to go next. Reputation. What does a person who's now starting off, who doesn't have fame or acclaim, do to garner a good reputation in the media's eyes? Hey, you've never heard of me. I want to get out there. How do I do it? I hire a person such as yourself, and I don't want you to give any secrets away, but just help the listening audience understand. I have no reputation, but I want to have a good reputation. How do we start?
Well, it depends on what kind of a field you're in. You know, I tell athletes that are just getting into the game, you know, get involved with some charity. Mm. Go help some kids. And then what we'll do is, let's say you just got into the NBA or something, and now you go down to a place where there are battered kids, or whatever, a place where there's homeless or whatever, and you help. All of a sudden, now we do a press release that says ABC athlete is sacrificing his time to help with underprivileged kids. Mm-hmm. Now that starts to elevate you to a whole nother level, you know? And so, you know, cause marketing, and I'll put a free plug in here. We just had a sandwich at
Even Steven.
And I was so impressed, because when you buy a sandwich there, they donate an equal sandwich or equal amount to people that are hungry mm-hmm. and to organizations. Well, that, to me, is a great hook. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, to me, is and cause marketing is one of the most powerful things there is in media.
Right.
If you have a business and you do cause marketing, you can use that. And I'm not saying do it for this purpose.
Right.
Do it if you feel right in doing it. I suggest you do it, because what happens is that people will start to know that you're doing it and that you're helping. You're creating a better life on the planet, whatever the case may be, and that starts to bring recognition to your business.
Yes, I'm loving it, guys. So I don't know what industry you may be in listening to the show today. I don't necessarily know what it is that you do on a day-to-day basis, but search within yourself and ask yourself the hard question: why should someone care about what you're doing? And what you're doing, how is it impacting others? You know, we were talking earlier, Dr. Warren, about how people often have stuff and they just kind of want to shove it down your throat. You know, talk to us about maybe some some good experiences that you may have had with that, or, you know, some not so great experiences about maybe clients that you've dealt with in the past and how you had to help them curb their mentality when it comes to PR.
Well, you know, I think probably the biggest issue is that when people start to get recognition, the humility leaves.
Mm.
And I think, you know, that people need to remember where they came from.
Yes.
And where they started. And, you know, for example, celebrities are notorious for this. They're nobody. And, you know, when they're nobodies, they're willing to sign every autograph they can. And they get to become somebodies, and all of a sudden they don't have time for the people that made them who they were.
Mm.
And so I always tell people to remember where they came from. You know, keep their feet on the ground. Keep their feet on the ground. Keep a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't let your fame or your notoriety go to your head.
I love that. I love that. Stay grounded, folks. Stay grounded and make sure that whatever you set out to do in the beginning is what you're doing, and the mentality that you had kind of sticks with you. I know we're forever evolving as human beings, but at the same time, the core of who you are should remain the same. So now let's talk about the difference between PR and marketing, because I know that there are many myths out there and people really think they're one and the same. I've got a legend with me today. I need to let them know what the difference is. Come on, talk to us.
Well, there's a big difference between, and I really, it's between traditional marketing, which is advertising on TV and radio and newspaper, and PR. And the difference is very simple. When you advertise, it's you trying to convince somebody that what you have is good. It really comes down to that. You create something that runs on TV, an ad that runs on the radio, and you're trying to convince people that what you have is good. PR, on the other hand, is a third-party endorsement, mm-hmm. which is 10 times more powerful. I'll give you an example. I had a company come to me, and they had a product. And they had spent about, $250,000 on advertising. And for that $250,000, they had got back about $1.3 million in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I told them, I could have got you more sales for $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
They said, that's not possible. I said, yes, it is. They said, well, how do you plan to do that? I said, well, I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do it. But I can do that. And I put a challenge to him. I said, here's what I'll do. You give me $10,000 to cover all the costs to do what I do, and you hold the other. And if your sales aren't more in 120 days than they were, then you spent the $250,000 for, you keep your money. Well, it's a no-brainer. They agreed to that.
Of course.
And, you know, what happened was is I basically got them interviewed on several national television shows, mm-hmm. and they did about $4 million in sales from the $50,000.
Mm.
It's really because what happens is, here's a typical example that most people can relate to. Guy has a book,
mm-hmm.
writes a book, nice book. He goes out and spends $10,000 to advertise his book on the social media, in magazines or that were for the market that he's trying to reach,
mm-hmm.
and maybe he sells 5,000 books.
Mm.
That same person goes on Oprah and talks about his book, and guess what? He sells 200,000 books.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because Oprah said, buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story of a product that was years ago that was getting ready to be taken off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And this product was something that would benefit people with their sleep. And as you know, with stores like Walmart, Thrifty's, Costco, it doesn't matter, CVS, Long's, if you don't sell product, your product gets pulled off the shelf.
Absolutely.
And the company really didn't have the money to market and do advertising. And by the way, a typical product when a big company launches with a major product that's going in across America, the average company will spend $15 to $25 million advertising that product to brand it and create a branding awareness of that product. Okay? So what happened was this company was getting ready to lose its product shelf space in the product. And so they decided that they needed to get some exposure for that product, but they didn't have the money to do the typical traditional advertising. So it wasn't me that did it, unfortunately. I wish it had been me. But somebody else I know did the thing, and he got the product on 60 Minutes.
Okay.
And what 60 Minutes did was an investigative report. They determined that the product was what it said it was. It had these benefits for the people. And within the next 30 days, the product did $15 million in business. Because 60 Minutes said that this product was valid and did what it said it would do. And so that third party endorsement is stronger than any ad that you can ever run. Giving another example, Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda did Slim Fast. Okay, Slim Fast, I don't have the exact numbers, but Slim Fast was doing something like approximately $5 million a month in sales when Tommy Lasorda took it over. And I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm going to show you this. But bottom line is, after Tommy Lasorda endorsed the product, their sales went from $5 million to $60 million. Okay, because Tommy Lasorda was reputable. He was losing weight on it, and it was that third party endorsement. That's why, for example, companies pay people like Michael Jordan and that those big monies. Because their sales increase because Michael said these tennis shoes are the best tennis shoes.
Or I wear Hanes or whatever the case may
be.
Wow. Again, guys, we're talking about the difference between PR and marketing. Now, do you need both as an entrepreneur or business owner? Is that something that you start off with? How does that work? I mean, I know you deal with, you know, high end, and you've dealt with people just starting off. So what do you say?
Well, there needs to be a balance, okay? And you need to support what you're doing with PR with a certain amount of advertising. But you need a balance. And so just doing advertising by itself, you'll get, you'll get results. Just doing PR by itself, you'll get results. If you can combine them in a balance. And today, you know, I for somebody starting off, advertising on national television is not the answer. You know, buying ads on websites that are going to the demographic that you're attempting to reach makes sense.
So know the market, know the demographic that you're trying to reach, and which leads right into this, because I get this often, you know, when I do seminars and people are asking the question like, well, you know, Dr. V, you're always talking about this level, that level, and this level, but what about the people who are just starting off? What are three simplistic things that you would tell someone who just started a business today? And are getting started. They're not, you know, garnering any revenue as of yet. What do you tell that person?
Well, I tell them to crawl before they walk.
Crawl before you walk. Absolutely.
And, you know, in today's world of social media, you know, you need to, you know, you need to have a decent website. Okay? You need to take advantage of the tools that are out there with the blogs. You need to, you know, be on all the different social media platforms, the Twitters and the Facebooks and all of that. Those all play a role. Okay. And then you need to find a way to get yourself written up in either internet publications, or if you have something good enough, find somebody that can advise you on how to do PR.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then bring them in to help you create the awareness through the traditional media as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Here's one I have for you, Dr. Warren. Many people are saying that print versions of things are a dying breed. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, print is not what it used to be, but it still has value. In other words, there are certain, like I say, niche markets that the people that are looking for stuff are still going to those publications to look for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, the print version is not dead, you know, but we've enhanced the print version by the social media platforms.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Definitely. So you still need both sides of the house, guys. When you look at it, you may lean heavily on one side, but don't forget or negate the other side. I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. For those of you who are listening and you're taking note, we talked about relationships. We talked about understanding the importance of knowing your niche market. We talked about a plethora of things, and I need you to understand that it takes all of this, guys. Don't be fooled by the get rich quick schemes, because from what I understand, that's not how this thing works. And anyone who's selling you that, you need to shut the door. It's going to take work, and more work. And if you're expecting to be around for the long haul, you're going to have to do more than one type of marketing, more than one type of advertising. You're going to have to build the right relationships if you want to be around.
Yeah. Now, let me add to this, and I think this is something, you know, the type of product you have makes a big difference. And, for example, there are products out there that if you put them on a store shelf, nobody will buy. Because they don't know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, and that's why, you know, you have to do the massive dollars in media to drive people to the shelf. But there are people out there that have unique and different products. For example, let's say it's a skincare product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, then start to identify the different types of shows that you have that are out there. For example, I've always found that the county fairs to be a very viable place. You know why? Because you can demonstrate what you have one-on-one to a person.
Mm. Yes.
I knew a guy years ago, he had a microwave steamer. And, you know, there was only really two ways. If he put this microwave steamer in Walmart, nobody would walk by and buy it because they wouldn't have a clue what it was. But what he did was he went to these fairs and he put a booth up and he had the person demonstrating the microwave steamer. And, I remember, you know, at the L.A. County Fair, the guy, believe it or not, the guy did several $100,000 in business in a period of 3 weeks by what people walking by and they demonstrating it.
Mm.
So there are certain products, for example, if you have a facial cream and that facial cream will basically make your skin as soft as a baby's skin, well, that's going to be hard to share with people via conversation. So creating a video that shows the before and after effect, putting that video on YouTube, going to shows where people are walking by and saying, "Hey, can I put this on you real quick?" And they see it and they buy it. The other day I was walking through somewhere and the guy had a product that helped relieve pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. He said, here, let me show you. He said, do you have any pain anywhere? I said, yeah. He said, well, let me show you. And he put the product on me. And sure enough, about 5 minutes later, the pain wasn't there. I said, how much is that bottle? He said, $20. And I'll take one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
I like to call that, Dr. Warren, evidence and results. A famous word that, or acronym that a lot of people are used to when they're in trouble. They want to go to the ER for help medically. So I utilize that acronym in everything that I do. No matter who you are, what industry you may find yourself in, everyone's looking for the person, the company, the group, the organization that can produce evidence and results. So don't take my word for it, folks. You've been listening to Dr. Terry Warren right here on Productivity 360. If you want to learn more about Dr. Warren, let's find out how you can get in touch with him and see how he can be a blessing to you.
Well, let me give my email, because I'm actually revamping my website.
Okay.
And it's not up right now. I've added some things that I'm doing in Africa and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've decided to upgrade it. But my email is Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, underscore, Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, P-R, as in public relations, at yahoo.com.
Amazing, amazing. Now, as you shared that, I know as a PR person, I want you to explain to the listening audience how important it is for your email, your website, your social handles to, one, be short and swift, and two, to make sense.
Well, first of all, when you start something, the name should, if you don't have millions of dollars, in other words, Nike had millions of dollars. So they were able to come up with the name Nike, and they had millions of dollars to brand Nike. The average person doesn't have millions of dollars. So what you have to do is, in your name, it needs to say what you do.
Mm.
That's key. Second of all, when you make the website, okay, you got to understand something, that the purpose of the website is not only to provide information, but the purpose of the website is to get people to take action.
Mm. I hope you're picking it up, folks.
It's very, very, very important that you're able to take your website and convert it over to customers.
Okay, guys, I'm going to interject again. I hope you're picking it up, because at the end of the day, I don't want you to go out there and just get real estate with GoDaddy or any other platform. You heard it right here on Productivity 360. Dr. Warren said, don't just have a website. The purpose of your website should be to draw revenue, traffic to what you're doing. But more importantly, he didn't say the word revenue. I'm throwing it in there. It should draw revenue. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. I mean, the conversion, you know, conversion is the key.
Mm-hmm.
How many people that come to your website are converting? If people aren't converting when they come to your website, there's something wrong with your website.
Mm.
You know, the other thing I want to advise people, and this is something I learned the hard way, because most web designers want to put all this flash and all this fancy stuff on a website, not realizing that 80% of the world doesn't have high-speed internet. So what happens is, when you make a website with all this fancy flash and this and that, most websites stall.
Mm.
And people are about instant results. So if they go on your website and it stalls, they'll go to another website.
That's it.
And so make your website practical.
Mm.
For the people, when they come to it, that they're going to be able to go on it and watch it, read it, and make it to where it gives a defining message that they will then want to react to and respond to.
Mm. Mm. All right, guys, I hope you got it, because at the end of the day, these nuggets are not free. These nuggets are here to change your thinking. If you change your thinking, it will change your life. So again, we've been talking about PR, the importance of PR, and the difference between PR and marketing, folks. So if you're looking to change the game, if you're looking to get your brand out there, your product, your whatever it is out there, there are some questions that you've got to ask yourself. And I'm telling you, the only way to make the world go round is to utilize your gift, talent, skill, knowledge, or ability. And in doing so, you help other people. I hope that you've been listening to Productivity 360 with Dr. Warren and recognize the 40 years of experience has come from a place of transparency. I want to thank you, Dr. Warren, for being on the show today. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and imparting some nuggets and wisdom to the listening audience. I really do appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And you know, the bottom line is we're all here to serve. And you know, one of the things that's important is that whatever business you have, it's not just about you. It's how you can help someone else. You know, I had someone years ago gave me a piece of advice. He said, if you want success, find a need and fill it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you want success, find a need and fill it. There are millions of businesses out there. You need to distinguish yourself that you are different. And be service oriented. Be about the customer. I used to have retail stores years ago. And my thing that I said to all my employees was, the customer is always right. Even if the customer is wrong, the customer is always right.
I think in this day and age, a lot of people have problems understanding that very statement. And you mentioned it earlier about celebrities and how celebrities, when they're nobody, they want to do everything. But then when they become somebody, they forget the very people who made them somebody. And I think what you're saying is it's all about service. You guys always hear me say that. Life is about producing and serving, but in the opposite order. Serve, then produce. So at the end of the day, your customer is always right. Why? Because you're in business because of them. I'll say that again. You're in business because of them.
What are you bringing to the table that can change somebody's life?
That's it. That's the top and the bottom, folks. That's the top and the bottom. Well, you've been listening to Productivity 360 every Friday right here on Bashani, iHeart, iTunes, and all mobile streaming devices worldwide. We thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to being with you again on this next Friday. Listen, folks, whatever you do, get out there and make a productive difference in the world. You know what I always say, be innovative, be productive, but most of all, live to produce. Blessings and peace.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.